us stand. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day, for the life and health and strength you've given us. Lord, I pray your company, that you'd be one of our number. You would bless our time in your presence, Lord. Just take and use it. Please provide for us, not just today, but for the rest of our lives, our daily bread, Lord. And pray, Father, please, that you would be our constant companion. Or should I say, Lord, that we would be your constant companion. Bless us. Please be with those that can't or aren't here for whatever the reason. Pray to continue to look after Link and Dr. Shang as they travel in China. And Steve, Lord, I don't know if he's not keeping well or not, but pray for him and well for William and John McGowan, Lord, and Christine and Mary Ann. Most importantly, we just pray for your will to be done. Bless our time to your Father, and we're looking forward to it. We love you and thank you. Amen. All right. If anybody has a favourite song, I'm happy to entertain them. And, before we get to any of yours, I'm going to sing one of mine, number 36, in the Read Like Handbook, number 36. Oh, I want to see. Yep, I think we all feel a bit like that today. You got one as well?
Do we know 262 here? The light of the world is Jesus.
No.
Is that your music machine?
That is.
You want me to change the number?
We'll practice that one at home. Put that in your list. Okay. Right, do you think of another
one?
101.
We will sing at number 16. Happy number 16. And if your foot will stand as we sing.
Chapter 8. Who is it, the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandments, and that in regard to the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is there, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth his commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that shall be, or who can tell him when it shall be. There is no man that has power of the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither has he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man rules over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who have come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where he had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the Son of Man, the heart of the Son of Man, is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before them. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men, unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men, to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commend mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labours the day of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. And I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labour to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Amen.
I like that verse there. Sadly, it speaks of a lot of what's going on in this day and age. Verse 11 says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So, because things aren't sorted out quickly, people think there's no consequences and behave accordingly. Thank you for that. Any of you guys have anything to add to our prayer list? Excellent. Mrs. Bradfield, nothing else to add?
Just thanks for 30 years here.
Monica's been here 30 years.
Today, 30 years today.
And is there anything else you're thankful for over these 30 years?
Yes, dear. That I introduced Karen to Jason.
You tell my mom.
All right, that'll do. We'll have a quick prayer and then we'll go on. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. And thank you, Lord, for many helps and blessings. I know, Lord, there's a lot of stuff that you tend to that we never know about or that goes on behind the scenes. But these few things that we do have, Lord, we would like to present them to you and ask for your influence, for your hand, for your wisdom, Lord, for your strong right arm on them. Pray especially at this time for America and for Britain, for those that walk the corridors of power, Lord, that they would be greatly put upon by the conviction of sin and judgment to come, and, Lord, a consideration of their eternities. People need to know, and I pray, Lord, you'd give them opportunity to wise up and look around them. Pray you too, Lord, for what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, that lives would be spared and souls would be saved, especially for Colin at this time. And I pray you too, Lord, for the fighting that's going on in Israel. I pray for many victories and blessings and helps upon the children of Israel, Father. Please, I pray, look after them to give them victory after victory. I do pray, Father, for all those that have received gospel tract over the years or heard a word of the gospel, that you would use it to speak to them of sin and judgment to come, that you would never be done, Lord, constraining them and speaking to them and making them feel bad, Lord, about sin. And I pray you wouldn't be done with us either, Lord. I know the days are getting darker and darker and things are getting worse and worse. I pray, Father, please, that even in these last of the last days, we can still point souls to the foot of the cross. Thank you for all your many helps, for bringing Monica over to the UK those 30 years ago, and for bringing us together just those 17 and a bit years ago. And Lord, just for our time here, please be with our absent brethren. And Lord, please, please don't be done with this country. We love you and thank you. And you know all of our private prayer requests. And pray that you would grant them according to your will. And Lord, for all the things that we have petitioned you for, please, Lord, for grant them. Pray that you would grant them according to your will. Thank you for loving us and saving us. Thank you for your Son, for your word, and for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Lord. And I'll leave these all at your feet. Let's do hymn number 32, Courage Brother, Do Not Stumble.
Trust in God and do
finish off this portion of the service in the big book, if you'd like to take a turn there in 101. Jesus Never Fails, 101. We'll stand and sing if you're able. Jesus Never Fails. This is in Joshua chapter 22. I hope it's a help to you. And we see many of the lessons that the Lord applied to the children of Israel as a nation are equally applicable to us as individuals. And the example is given over and over so that no matter where you are reading in the Word of God, you will be reminded, because we do need to be reminded. The Word of God says, "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and ye have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now return ye and get you unto your tents and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Amen. Verse number 5 is our text this evening. The title for the message is No Matter Where You Are, and this is where we're at, Joshua 22. Let's pray very quickly, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, please lend us a bit of your wisdom and your guidance as we take this journey through, goodness, thousands of years ago of human history, most specifically the history of your people. Please, Lord, I pray, teach us, edify us, and just help us this day. You know everything that's going on in our lives, Lord, and I pray for your good hand upon that. And, Lord, that we will have the good sense just to listen to you and to do things your way. Love you and praise you. And we leave these things at your feet, along with our private prayer requests, Lord, and pray that you will grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen. Now, the book of Joshua, I'm sure you all remember the young man. Joshua was one of the two spies that spied out the city of Nineveh. And, Jericho, I was thinking of, Jonah. That's Jonah and the whale. I was thinking of Jonah and the shark. Now, he spied out the city of Jericho, and they escaped. And, of course, we do know that Rahab the harlot escaped out of there too. And her and another foreigner, Ruth the Moabitess, were both brought into the line of the Lord God, his earthly body. But before the reins of the city of the children of Israel was handed over to Joshua from Moses, there were 2.5 of the tribes that said, "Do you know what, Moses? See all this lovely land on this side of the Jordan? We would like to live here." Now the promised land was across the Jordan. But these people, the 2.5 tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, said they wanted to live on this side of the Jordan, the side that was on the bit that was not the promised land. There's a lesson in that all by itself in that, because even when things look good to us, we're still better obeying the Lord God in the long run. Moses said, "That's fine. However, you need to go over the Jordan and you need to help the other 10, give or take, tribes of the children of Israel to fight the inhabitants of the promised land and to clear them out. And then you can go back to your families and you can have peace and you can start settling them down, raising crops, cattle, and all that stuff." And so they've done that. We are now 22 chapters into the book of Joshua. Probably been fighting for years, clearing out the land. Some of their children and their wives and some of the other men stayed with the people, but now it's time to go home. And as they go, Joshua says these things. "You've done everything that Moses asked you to do. You've done it all. And you've even obeyed what I've asked you to do. And you've supported your brethren, and you've subdued the land, and you've kept the commandment of the Lord your God. Now that you've done all that, God has given your brethren rest, and it's time for you to go and have the rest with your families." But he says this one thing. He says, pay particular attention to God's commandments, his law, the word of God. Now, it would have been a lot handier to keep an eye on it, because it only would have been that thick back in the day. Only what, about, in my Bible, 356 pages. I'm sure it would still make a substantial book back in the day. But Joshua said to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, "Don't forget to read your Bible." That's what he said. Pay attention to it. He says, be diligent even. In other words, not as and when you feel like it, because you know yourself, some days you don't feel like reading the Bible. It's a bit like whenever little children don't feel like chewing a nice bit of steak because it's a bit chewier than a burger or a meatball. But it's still better for you. Joshua said, pay particular attention to the word of God. Pay attention to it. Because that came from God. So pay attention. Love the Lord. Now, whenever you love somebody or something, you're going to lavish time and attention and care on it. You are going to spend, we've already done the time bit, you're going to even spend money on it or them. That's just the way things are. When we love a thing, we're going to pay a lot of attention to it and put a bit of effort into it. And Joshua said, put a bit of effort into your Christian lives. Don't forget to walk in His way. As you put that effort into your Christian lives, make sure that you're not just coming to church and listening to it, nodding in the direction of God, and then go home and do whatever else it is you like. But those things that you hear, put them into practice. Now, the end of James chapter 2 has an excellent, in fact, most of James chapter 2 is an excellent discussion back and forth of not being a forgetful hearer of the word of God, because God, through James, said to us that anyone that hears the word of God and forgets it is like a man that beholds his face in the mirror and he turns around and walks away and he forgets what he looks like. That's how silly it is to hear the word of God and not hold on to it, not keep it. So pay attention. Love the Lord. And he says especially, keep his commandments and cleave to him and serve him. See, I know a lot of people will keep the commandments, at least physically. A lot of people, that's a point of pride for a lot of us. We like to say, I keep the commandments. You can come across lost people that say, I keep the commandments. But we can't. We quite literally can't keep the commandments. It's almost an impossible task, because God measures not just what you do with your hands, but what goes on up in your mind, what you dwell upon, and what you consider, and what you make important in your life. And Joshua said, love the Lord. Read and study your Bible, but cleave to it. Put a bit of effort into it. The same effort that as a new fellow that claimed to be a Christian for many years but couldn't make it out to church on a Sunday morning because of the football matches at 11:30 or 12:00, and he would miss the first half of them. And I thought, not the sort of God that I worship, and certainly not the sort of Christian we need. The Bible says we should be putting God first. It says, serve Him with all your heart and soul. That's what we should be doing, putting God first. You might think, oh, but there might come a day whenever there's an accident and I have to take someone to a hospital or there's some emergency. God knows that. And there are times when going to church is not an option if you're sick, if you're dying, if you need to go to a hospital. If there's an emergency, I can understand that. But a lot of people classify emergencies that really aren't emergencies. Like, there's a great emergency and I need heavy lifting gear to get my coat off of me in the morning. Or I need some heavy lifting gear to lift me out of the couch in the evening and get me off to church. Those are not emergencies, I'm just saying. Joshua said, you need to put God first. That can be difficult. Because a lot of times, we don't want to put God first. I'm guilty of it too, from time to time. I try not to, but sometimes I am. We are to specifically serve the Lord. We are not the servants of sin anymore. We shouldn't be at the beck and call of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We should serve the Lord. Now, there's another 20-odd verses, 30 verses in that portion of God's Word, which shows you the 2.5 tribes getting into a wee bit of trouble with the rest of the tribes because they didn't come into the promised land, but they got it all sorted out. In other words, Joshua was telling the 2.5 tribes, even though you're on the far side of the Jordan, you still have to serve the Lord. You still have to serve the Lord. I don't know if you've read much in the way of Joshua recently, or you remember the many battles that they had to fight. But it's always good to hear about God and God's people winning. In this case, the promised land was even a type of heaven. When all these folks entered into it for their rest, it was a place of settling down and a place of being at home and not always having to strive and to fight. But they didn't make it happen by themselves. It didn't just happen. And sometimes they didn't have to do anything at all because God did all the heavy lifting. Does anyone recall a fellow called Achan? At the very, very start, God said, see that city? Kill everybody, burn everything. It's like a burnt offering, it's like a tithe to me of all of the victories of the 10 cities you're going to be fighting. But one guy, Achan, he found a nice dress or a Babylonian garment, I'm assuming for a woman, and some money, and he packed it away and he hid it, and it brought about the death of 36 men. It's worth remembering that. And that's why it's important that we obey the Lord our God. We need to remember that it was everything that's in the world that was driving us down to hell. It was all the temptations of the world that was destroying our lives before we threw our lot in with Jesus Christ. Why then would we go back? But this advice that Joshua gave to these 2.5 tribes is still good for us today. It's always good for us. Whether you're in church or in your bed or in your kitchen or living room or whether you're in the town or whether you're on the far side of the world, serve the Lord. Love the Lord. Be a good example of a child of the King of Kings. No matter where you are, remember his words. And pay attention to it. In this day and age, read the Bible. This Bible that we take for granted, I guarantee you, it's going to start disappearing. I heard very recently that I know there was a swing back towards putting the Ten Commandments up in sheriff's offices and law courts in the States, but I heard very, very recently there of an instance where one of these fruit and nut cakes that was offended by the Word of God being in the sheriff's office took him to court to try and get it removed. There are people that are doing their best to get the Bible removed from every day in society, and it is the only thing that reminds us that we're human, we're fallible, we've sinned, and we've fallen short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior. So pay attention to it. The Lord said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It's preserved for each and every one of us. So pay attention to it. Just because it's there in that leather binder on those pages does not mean it's in our hearts and minds. So pay attention. Make sure that you do love God. Make sure that your heart's right before God. We certainly know that God loves us, and he really, really went out of his way for us. In fact, the Bible says, while we were yet strangers from God, Christ died for us. That's how much he loves us. I've heard many instances of men at war that will lay down their lives for their friends. I heard more recently of a man, I think he was in the Marines, he was clearing out a dwelling with terrorists, and someone threw a hand grenade down, and he threw himself on top of it with a helmet. I don't know if he killed himself, but he was certainly very badly hurt, to save his friends. Greater love hath no man that he lay down his life for his friends, but yet and all the Lord had a greater love than that when he laid down his life for even his enemies. Would we be prepared to sacrifice for the Lord? That is always worth asking. Just yourself. How do I stand with the Lord? Well, am I prepared to give for the Lord? Do I want to give up a little bit of time just to read about him or talk to him? Do I want to take a bit of time to come to church and just sing some of his praises? Do I want to take time or effort or money just to share? Am I prepared to sacrifice? In 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter of the Bible, I think it starts with, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am nothing. And it goes on for another 2 verses telling you that no matter what you have or who you are, if you don't have the love of God in your lives, it amounts, everything that you do will amount to nothing in the end of the ages of eternity. And then it goes on and describes love. And it talks about love suffering long and love being kind and love thinking no evil and love wanting the best for the object of its love. Are we wanting the best for the Lord in our lives? We ought to consider that. We're not just talking about time in church. Go at home. We're in private devotions when we pray. But on the other hand, are we prepared to sacrifice opportunities and people that would tempt us away from God into bad habits and partying and drinking? Are we prepared to sacrifice the lofty ambitions that many people have if the Lord has a different path for you? Are we prepared to take time to read and study the Bible? I don't know what anybody here was like for learning poems whenever they were younger. I can only remember a couple of bits of 1 or 2 poems. And I know that I had to walk around the kitchen for half an hour to learn maybe 10 or 15 lines of a poem, repeating them over and over and over again. And if that's what it takes to drum information into your head, well, have a go at it and see. You will not regret storing portions of God's word in your mind. Stay with it. Or get into it and grow in Christ. Nobody turns into a great gospel preacher overnight. I'm still not there. I'm still working on it. No. Nobody, don't argue with me. I'm still not the best gospel preacher that there is. But it's going to take time and effort. It's not just going to happen. I was even thinking of George Mueller. Was he the father of modern art orphanages in the UK? And he sacrificed everything to save thousands of children's lives. He sacrificed career. He sacrificed his pride. And in his humility, many times he thanked the Lord for food that they hadn't even received for the breakfast of the day. And there was one instance where the milk cart broke down outside, and the fellow knocked on the door and said, "George, the milk carts broke down. Will you be able to use this milk? Otherwise, it'll be off." And everybody, all the children, got a big glass of milk. And another morning, the baker said, knock at the door at 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and he says, "Mr. Mueller, but the Lord really put it upon my heart to bake all this bread for you. Here you are. Would you be prepared to depend upon that, upon the God that saved your soul? Be prepared to go against your own feelings, even social norms and expectations, to do what God said. Because an order for God to be shown to be greater than these things, he has to be shown to be greater than these things. And the only people prepared to do that is those that love the Lord." Many years ago, they had this Japanese thing called Total Quality Management. And they shared us this thing, and probably get the percentages wrong, but not far wrong. And they said, you remember about 30% of what you hear. That figure has dropped rapidly for me. You remember about 5% of what you hear. You remember about 40 to 50% of what you see and hear. And you remember between 70 and 80% of what you see and hear and actually do. That should be a lesson for us even in itself. Even that way of working from a pagan country should be a lesson to us. Yes, we will learn a little bit if we listen to the preaching, but we'll learn more if we listen to the preaching and actually see it taking place. But if we actually take it on board and do stuff, it will become a part of us. It's important that we remember what God says, because it's easy to forget what God says when we're in the presence of family and friends, or even time if we're not careful. So serve God. It's never been bad or wrong to serve God. And love God. Because it's never been wrong to love God. And remember what he's done for you. And the promises of what he will do for you, or what is doing for you right now. And with all the stuff that's happening in the world right now, the wars and the rumors of wars in Matthew 24, and the famines and the pestilences, and the earthquakes in diverse places, the commentary on how people are proud and covetous and boasters and unholy and unthankful and disobedient to parents and persecutors of those that are good and mockers and scoffers of them, with the traitors that are in the pulpits, with the way the government's treating their citizenry, with the spread of paganism and false religion, and the persecution of Christians and Christianity, and the reactions of people which we are seeing in this country even now, it's hard to keep your eye on the Lord. There is so much by way of distraction. It's also hard to keep your eye on what he has for us. And so that's why it's important that even in these dark days, I think the Lord said that he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. We need to make a point of being good Christians and serving God no matter what. Even in these dark days, at home, school, when we're visiting folks, shopping, going to the hospital, standing at a graveside, sitting at a playground, people need not just to hear about God, but to see God and what a difference it makes in people. So no matter where we are, the people that we are about will have a good testimony of what Jesus can do with a sinner in saving them and sorting them and pointing them in the right direction. No matter where you are, there's an opportunity to serve God. Take it. If you don't find one and you're that keen, take one. Amen. Take a gospel tract. My name's on the back, you can blame me, and I'm more than happy to field the phone calls. There you go. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. We've all had one. Has anybody got a closing hymn that they'd like for us to sing? Or am I going to pick it? I'm picking it. Have you got one? Are you looking for one there, John?
I was trying to look for it, but I've got another lady to
have. Number 13 is Guide Me, O Thou Great General. Stand and sing that, and then we will be done.
that, who knows? Our paths could quite conceivably cross sometime between now and Sunday. But in the meantime, let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time aside from the Word. Please bless it, reading, studying, and thinking on your Word, Lord. And remember that no matter where we go, we are to be your good and obedient children, Lord. Thank you for loving us and saving us. And I pray that you would save even more folks, Lord. And most importantly, that your will would be done. Please come quickly, Lord, and we leave these things at your feet, along with our private prayer requests and petitions. And you know what they are, Lord, and pray that you would grant them according to your will. We love you and thank you. Amen. Gentlemen and ladies, shake hands. We are dismissed, folks. God bless you.